Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Welcome to Healing Center, and welcome to all those folks online today. We're glad to have you with us as well. Let's open up this morning with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you that it's a good day to come to the house of the Lord and study your word. Father, help those that could not be here today to tune in online or to watch this later. May it help everyone who hears use my voice and my words and my mouth to deliver your message as we look into your word and discuss healing this morning. Bless everyone that is here and those in transit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's start with some confessions this morning. So, if you would, repeat after me after I read the scripture. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's present tense, are. Okay, let's make this confession. Surely Jesus has borne my sicknesses and diseases. Say it like you mean it. And carried my pains. He bore them and carried them away to a distance. I don't have to bear what he bore for me. Satan cannot. I refuse to bear what he bore for me. Satan cannot put on me what Jesus bore for me. By his stripes I am healed and made whole. Matthew 8:16-17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And our confession, Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He carried away my sicknesses and diseases. He bore them away and removed them. Disease is not mine. Healing is mine. I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Satan, you cannot put disease on me. I refuse to accept sickness. I will not tolerate sickness. Sickness and disease are totally unacceptable to me. One more. This is from 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And our confession, sickness is a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness has been dissolved, broken up, annulled, undone, and liquidated as far as I'm concerned. Jesus put sickness to an end for me. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, act like it. Act like it. In preparing for today's service, I was led to look at the actions or approaches that Jesus and his disciples used to heal people in the four Gospels and in the book of Acts. And there's a lot of stories of healing in there. And of course, they in the Gospels, they tell the same story with minor differences. I went through each Gospel and wrote down the scriptures, each passage that described a healing event. And then I made a note as to the action used or the approach that Jesus or his disciples used, whether it was touch or speaking to the problem, both, or unknown. And there's some miscellaneous. My list is redundant because the Gospels tell the same stories, but with differences. And that's helpful sometimes to see how the different writers saw things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them were there.
Yeah.
Matthew was there.
Right.
Luke was not, but he heard it from the disciples, the apostles, and others had been healed. But he was writing like a history. So, then I made a tally sheet with four columns. And I touch, speaking, unknown, and miscellaneous. And I added up the tallies. You know, every time I put them in the right place, okay? Now, there's some overlap because speaking and touching sometimes were combined, sometimes they stood alone. I noticed that speaking was the most common approach. Speaking to the issue, the problem, the evil spirit, to the person, or even to their intercessor, was the most common approach, the common denominator, if you will. Often this word spoken was a command to do something. This shows that, and let's see, it shows that both touching and laying on of hands and speaking to disease, sickness, demonic spirits are very important to divine healing. Jesus and his disciples healed roughly twice as many people by speaking to the problem as he did by laying on of hands, or a combination. That really brings home the importance of how we speak, what we speak, how we say it. And often a command is needed. Now, don't discount the power of the touch to heal, laying on of hands. Mark 16, 18, the last part of that verse says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And they is believers, those that believe in him. Shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sometimes Jesus and his disciples used both techniques, either alone or in combination. Think of using booster cables on a weak or dead battery. The jumper cables carry electrical energy from a charged up battery to the weak battery or the dead battery so that you can get your car started. In the same way, spiritual healing energy can be conveyed from a spirit-filled believer to someone who needs a boost to activate their faith and activate their healing by the laying on of hands. Their faith is activated. Now, if speaking correctly concerning healing was used by Jesus and his disciples about twice as often as touching is reported, it tells us that what we say and how we say it are vitally important. Pastor Debbie tells us words are important. They can be your salvation or they can be your damnation. And I believe that comes from the Message Bible. Proverbs 6:2 tells us, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about something, don't use a possessive pronoun, my arthritis is killing me, my knee hurts, my heart's acting up, my liver is whatever. You're claiming it when you say my, you're claiming it as yours. So don't, try not to use those terms at all. Mine or mine. Jesus spoke directly and with authority to evil spirits, sickness, disease, and the people afflicted with these things. So let's look at some of the healing accounts recorded in the Gospels. There are a lot. We're not going to look at all of them. But as we get ready to start, take your fingers and do this. Everybody, limber up your fingers. You've heard the old ad, let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. Well, let your fingers do the walking through the Bible this morning. Okay? We're going to start in Matthew chapter 8. And we'll begin at verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. And I'm going to use the King James Version most of the time this morning. We will look at Amplified a bit as well. Okay. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, What's a centurion? It was a Roman military officer in command of 100 men. Centurion. There's 100 cents in the dollars, 100 years in a century. It's an easy way to remember if you need to remember him. Anyway, a man of authority. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Palsy means paralyzed. If you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it sounds like a stroke. The muscles on one side of the body are relaxed or not functioning. That's the way I read it. So, and you all know that a stroke is serious business, or whatever was afflicting this man. Notice this centurion was a Gentile. But yet he had the faith to say to Jesus, Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. No hesitation. Going to minister to this Gentile, to this servant, regardless. He didn't have to be a member of the nation of Israel. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That's faith. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Jesus spoke the word only. Yep. Servant was healed at a distance. Jesus never saw the man, never spoke directly to the man that was sick, never went to the house. The centurion had great faith, believed Jesus, and took him at his word. Yep. And he is a great example for us. Note, his faith was critical, key to his servant being healed. So is our faith to our healing. Well, we're in chapter 8 of Matthew. Let's look at verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now that word is logos, but it points out the importance of having the word stored up in our heart so that we can bring it out and use it as needed, when needed. And there will be many times in life when we'll need it. The devils recognized Jesus' authority and had to obey him. Well, let's turn over a page or so to chapter 9 of Matthew. And we'll start at verse 2. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy. There's another paralytic, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power, and that is the Greek word exousia, for authority. The Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, and saith him to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. He gave a command to the paralytic, rise, take up thy bed and go into thy house. The man obeyed immediately. He demonstrated his faith by doing something he could not do before. Yep. And that very often is key to healing. Yep. To immediately do something you couldn't do before. Right. Well, we're in Matthew chapter 9. Let's go to verse 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, was never so seen in Israel. Jesus cast the devil, a dumb spirit, that's the word I want. I am sure that Jesus spoke directly to that devil with a voice of authority. He did not beat the devil out of the man, he spoke it out. Go a little further in Matthew chapter 9. Let's go to verse... No, I'm sorry. Not Matthew chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I'm in the wrong book. So I need to get my fingers walking, don't I? All right, Luke chapter 9, verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And the Greek word used there means only child. So how distressing would it be to that father to see his son having these seizures? When I was a boy, there was a girl in our church, a little older than myself, who was subject to seizures, and she had a grand mal seizure one day in church. I think it was during revival. And as a kid, you know, it kind of scared me, but it was not a good thing to see. And her father grabbed her up and carried her out of the room, and someone went to help him. But it made an impression on me as to how serious and how debilitating that situation is. So I can understand the father's anguish, and if you have children, you would too, I'm sure. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foaming again and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. It's a pretty bad situation, isn't it? And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. That's a powerful healing with the word only, the spoken word only. Another command. In this case, he was commanding the evil spirit, not the sick person. Back over to Mark chapter 10, if you would. And I realize some of you are reading it on the screen, and that's fine. It gives you time to write it down. But we're in Mark chapter 10. We'll start at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And we heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many people charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort and rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. The Pastor Debbie has talked about this passage before, said that garment was a specific garment that blind people wore. Now, he's called on Jesus to have mercy on him, and as we'll see in a minute, he knows what he wants. So he has the faith to throw that thing away. It's like throwing away your crutches or your wheelchair if you're dependent on them before you even get to the healing part. That's a demonstration of faith, I believe. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. When he was blind, he had a hard time following Jesus, but now that he could see, he could follow him anywhere that he wanted to. And this I want to call your attention to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is when Jesus first began his public ministry, and he went to the synagogue and was handed the roll of Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind." He had announced that he was going to do that when he first started, before he'd ever healed the first blind person. "To set at liberty them that are bruised." There's a lot of wonderful promises in that statement, in that verse. In each of these situations that we've looked at, Jesus spoke to evil spirits, to the sick person, or in the case of the centurion servant, to the intercessor, who was interceding on behalf of the paralyzed servant. And healing took place. Belief and faith on the part of the sick or afflicted person or on the part of their intercessor was crucial to their healing. Think about the society of that day. No emergency rooms, no hospitals, no doctors, no specialists, no pharmacies, no billboards advertising pills or medical practice, no ads in the newspaper, news magazines, anything else. What did they have? Word of mouth. Witnessing things for themselves and telling other people. That's the way it spread. And it, as we can see in the Gospels, it spread pretty rapidly. Yeah. Well, that was, you know, when you didn't have all those things that we take for granted nowadays and sometimes have to depend on, this was quite a novel thing, but quite good news for people. Good news. And what did they need to have? They had to believe and have faith. Jesus had authority over sickness, disease, blindness, deafness, lameness, demons, and evil spirits. When he spoke, demons, disease, injury, and so forth had to leave. We have been given the same authority. In Mark chapter 16, at the end of the Great Commission, verses 17 and 18. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Do you believe? Okay. "In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Well, if you believe, then you can do all of these things. You don't need me. You don't need somebody else to pray for you. You can do this yourself. In Luke 10:19, he sent out his disciples and was speaking to them. "Behold, I give unto you power," that's authority, "to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Where does sickness and disease and injuries come from? The devil, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we've got authority over all the power of the enemy. We don't have to put up with him. And we don't have to put up with him in our family or in our life or in our workplace or anywhere else. We got to run him off. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent his disciples out to preach and teach and heal. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Excuse me. You see anything missing in that? All. All. Longest word in the Bible. It covers everything. Does it not? All. In verses 7 and 8, He added to that commission, "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Do we need to keep the good news to ourselves?
No.
Should we?
No.
We should be telling other people and laying hands on them, speaking to their affliction if they need it.
That's right.
Watch the miracles happen.
That's right.
Are we using our authority? Are we speaking with authority to attack upon our body, our mind, our emotions, our family? Are we speaking with authority to attack on other people, family, neighbors, strangers? Pastor Chris has been teaching on Wednesday nights about the power of a good confession in fighting the good fight of faith. A good confession is saying the same thing that God says about us in His Word. It is agreeing with God, agreeing with what He says about us. It's impossible to fight the good fight of faith without a good confession. You've heard Him say that, I'm sure. Pastor Debbie has stressed here the power of a good confession in a healing center, oftentimes. As we have seen in the scriptures that we read just a few minutes ago, belief and faith on the part of the sick person or their intercessor was crucial to their healing. One way to work on your faith, our faith, in addition to studying the Bible, is to work on our confession. And we started off with three confessions. We're going to end with a confession this morning. But there's several confessions on the information table in the back over your mind, over your health. Confessions of what we have and who we are in Christ. If you don't have a copy, pick one up and then use it. Don't file it away. Use it every day. And we have little bookmarks too, even so even handier for them. We're focused this morning on healing. So let's consider our confession regarding our health and healing. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24. Thank you, Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, Isaiah 54:17. The devil's defeated. I have the armor of God on at all times. Don't ever take it off. Keep it on. Keep it polished, lubricated or whatever, so that it works good and you can function with it on at all times. Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, Matthew 8:17 and Isaiah 53:4. We don't have to put up with infirmities and sicknesses, do we? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, Proverbs 17:22. Enjoy life, good, clean humor, and look on the happy side, look on the positive side in everything. I have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. No mental illness, no confusion, no dementia, no brain fog. I have a good memory, good recall, good comprehension. I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. A confession of good health and healing will build our faith to get healed, and we must agree with God. Our faith will never rise above the level of our confession. If you're unwilling to confess it, you will not be able to possess it, and you've heard that before in Healing Center. I don't remember if it was 2 or 3 years ago, but you know, Dr. Jim Caseman comes end of the summer, usually in August, maybe September, and speaks. And a couple of years ago, he had a sermon entitled, What's in Your Mouth? And it was like a refrain because he would preach or teach for a little while and turn it back around to, what's in your mouth? Are you confessing defeat, sickness? Are you confessing financial lack? Are you confessing problems in your relationships? What's in your mouth? So when it comes to healing, what's in your mouth? What's in your mouth? You ever met somebody that all they want to talk about is their aches and pains and problems? I like to get away from them as quickly as possible. If I can get them to stop and I can try to teach them a little bit about what the Word says, great, but sometimes there's people that just won't stop and listen. They are confessing and reinforcing what they've got going on. We don't need to do that. And we don't need to stimulate that. Okay. Well, another way that Jesus and His disciples healed people was by touch, by the laying on of hands. Let's look at some examples of that. We'll go back to Matthew 8 where we started, and we'll find some more. In Matthew chapter 8 of Matthew is just full of healing stories. We're going to verse 14 and 15 in Matthew chapter 8. Healing by touch. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Jesus' touch caused the fever to leave, restored his Peter's mother-in-law to health and vitality, and she got up and started cooking supper. That's what ministering means in this sense, waiting on someone as a host, serving as a host or hostess. Okay, Matthew chapter 9. We'll look at verses 20 and 22. And we're going to look at this one pretty thoroughly. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. She touched the hem of his garment. Now, in the Amplified, she'd been saying to herself, if I only touch his outer robe, I will be healed. That's in verse 21. In verse 20, she says, she came up behind him and touched the tassel or fringe of his outer robe. Okay, let's look at that same account in Mark. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25 to 34. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. There's that faith again. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She touched his garment or his outer robe. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Well, let's look at the Amplified version. Verse 28, Amplified. I'm not going to read the whole thing. She'd heard about Jesus. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his outer robe. That's verse 27. Verse 28, for she thought, if I just touch his clothing, I will get well. Let's look at Luke's account of the same story of healing. And that's in Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. It doesn't say clothes, the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and sayest, thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. And in the Amplified rendition, verse 44, she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his outer robe, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Well, let's look at another healing where the fringe of his garment was figured in, but it's not the same story. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus is traveling with his disciples. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Is that word of mouth? It's him. It's him. And he ran throughout that whole region round about and began to carry in beds those that were sick where they heard where he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, and as many as has touched him were made whole. What's going on? Well, let me back up. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified, that last verse. Whenever he came into villages or cities or the countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and pleading with him to allow them to just touch the fringe, the tassel with a blue cord of his robe, and all who touched it were healed. What's going on with this? Touching the hem of his garment. For a clue, let's look in the Old Testament. Look at Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 2. Malachi 4, 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Yeah, I read that verse for years when I'd encounter it. I wondered about it. What do they mean? Until I looked up the word wings in Strong's Concordance. Wings in Hebrew is kanaf. And it means an edge or an extremity, specifically of a bird or an army, like the wings on a bird, or the outer edges of an army group, a wing of a garment or bed clothing. And wings are mentioned in Exodus and Isaiah, the wings of cherubim and seraphim. And you know, the cherubim, that description is the cherubim that were made to sit on top of the Ark of the Covenant, with their wings toward each other. Same word. As an extension of the usage wing, kanaf signifies extremity. The seam or lower part of a garment was known as the kanaf. Saul, when Samuel called Saul to account for sacrificing without waiting for him, and for not finishing off all the Amalekites and sparing them, as God had told him to utterly destroy them. And Samuel told him the kingdom is going to be given to another man. I mean, you lost it. And Saul tore the skirt of Samuel's robe as he turned to leave. He tore the kanaf, the tassel, the skirt of his garment. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 38, God was giving instructions to Moses on how the priest's garments and the tabernacle and all these things were to be constructed. And he was told to make fringes in the borders of their garments and put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And you would look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord. It was a memory aid to keep the commandments. Now let's put this together. Could it be, when you read this, unto you that fear my name, means you, it doesn't mean you're trembling and scared of the Lord, it means you reverence him, shall the Son of Righteousness, Jesus was certainly righteous, wasn't he, arise with healing in his wings, with healing in the border of his garment, with healing in the kanaf. Could it be that these people had heard that verse, were familiar with it, and that's why they were so eager and had the faith to just touch the borders of his robe, the kanaf, the hem of his garment and get healed. I can't tell you for sure that's right, but I certainly believe that it is. Maybe the reason that they were so eager to do that and got healed when they did. They had faith in it. They had faith. Let's go on with the touch. Healings by touch. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 29 to 34. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. Well, I forgot 29, I'm sorry. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Sounds like Bartimaeus, doesn't it? And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Just this touch. But they had the faith and the boldness to cry out and call on him. In Luke chapter 22, we have another example or another story of the healing by touch. Luke chapter 22. This is where, in the garden, when the mob comes to arrest Jesus and haul him off to kangaroo court and the Romans and the cross. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when they were which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto the Lord, "Shall we smite with the sword?" And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, other gospels tell us that was Peter, and other gospels tell us that the servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus answered ye and said, "Suffer ye thus far," and he touched his ear and healed him. Just by touch. Wow. He showed his compassion for an enemy. This guy came with a mob, had swords and staves and chains and all this stuff, and he knew what was coming. Why they were there and what was going to happen. But he had compassion for that enemy and healed that ear. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." He practiced what he preached. He practiced what he preached. Sometimes Jesus used both a touch and a word or a command. Now let's look at a few examples. Back to Matthew chapter 8. That's a great place to start. A great place to study healing, isn't it? Matthew chapter 8. We'll look at verses 2 and 3. We've read this one before in healing Sodom. "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Leprosy was a terrible thing in those days, in that society. Jesus showed his compassion, of course. "I will, be thou healed." But this man had probably not been touched much at all since he was afflicted with leprosy. He had to live apart, cry out unclean, stay away from people. Touching one another appropriately, of course, is important to our well-being. Look around on Sunday morning, or this morning even for that matter. You'll see handshakes, hugs, pats on the back of the arm. What would church be like without that? Would you feel welcome or part of the family without these interactions? No, I don't think so. Jesus gave the man a touch and a word. I will, be thou clean, and immediately he was healed. We know a couple, actually it was a pastor and his wife, who years ago, more than 20 years ago, adopted a child out of an orphanage in Russia, a baby. I don't know how old the baby was, but she was an infant. Now the orphanages in Russia are nothing like here. Apparently that one, the baby was fed and changed, and that was about it, no interaction. Nobody, so that baby would just lay there and not interact when you spoke to it or dealt with it. That mother took that baby and fastened it on her hip for about a year. Touch, constant touch, talking to it, loving on it. And it changed that baby's life. She's grown now, but she turned out to be a beautiful young lady. A beautiful person. It shows the need for touching, appropriately, of course. But that human touch and contact is vitally important. And this poor leper was starved for it, I'm sure. And Jesus reaching out to touch him, given the enemies he had around watching him, looking for something to accuse him of, didn't ignore him. He went on and did what needed to be done. And of course, after his cleansing, this leper could go back to his family, go back to normal life, where a handshake or a hug was commonplace. Let's look in Matthew 9. We'll look at verse 27 through 31. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Sounds familiar. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And he's giving a faith checkup. Do you have the faith to be healed? Do you believe that when I touch you or speak to this, you will be healed and receive your sight? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. They're putting their faith right out there. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, seeing that no man know it. Touch and speaking. He did a faith checkup, but then he, according to your faith, be it unto you. So according to our faith, be it unto us. If we're looking for healing, that faith is crucial. Yeah. If you don't feel that you have enough faith, then work on building it. How do you build it up? Bible study. Come to Healing Center. Come to Wednesday and Sunday services. Read good books about healing or listen to healing tapes. But build your faith. Sometimes you may need to work, if you're working with someone else and you're trying to help them heal or minister to them, you may have to spend some time educating them and building their faith. And it may not happen the first day, but as they work on it, if they're willing to, and consistent, work on it, build their faith up to the point they say, yes, that's for me. According to your faith, do you believe, according to your faith, be it done to you? Jesus could make the same two statements to us, couldn't he? Okay. Not going to finish all of this today, but that's okay. Mark chapter 5. We'll look at verses 21 to 23 and 35 to 42. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell down at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. That's his faith. He's expressing it, laying it right out there. In verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. He's reinforcing his faith. Don't listen to those doubters. Don't listen to an evil report. Be not afraid. Only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Not even the messengers. Let's leave the doubters and the unbelievers behind. Let's get away from them. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And he put them all out. He got rid of another batch of unbelievers and doubters, didn't he? Because if you're hanging around with doubters and unbelievers, it seems to be catching. And it'll drag you down. It'll make you start to doubt. Make you maybe not believe. A question in your mind. Cast all that stuff out and get away from those people. He excluded doubt and unbelief twice. He put them all out. He taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha, Kumai, which is by being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto you, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Notice he touched her. He took her by the hand. That touch. That booster cable, maybe. And he spoke a command. Get up.
Yeah.
Get up. Arise. I think we're going to need to pause now, and we will pick up again next week and look at some more ways that Jesus and his disciples healed people. Because I want to do it completely, not rush through it. The Lord gave me this message. He gave me a lot, as you can tell. And we got a bunch more. I hope it's helped you. But let's stand to our feet and make a confession, one more confession together this morning. Excuse me. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 9, good old chapter 9. But the Pharisees said, He cast out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus was a general practitioner. He wasn't a specialist. He was like a good old country doctor, wasn't he? Took care of it all. Okay. In the Amplified, it says, proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. There's that long word, all, again. You believe it? Okay, let's confess it. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed every sickness and disease and pain 2,000 years ago, His will is the same today. I receive the teaching of Jesus today. It's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give me abundant life. I see that the kingdom of God includes healing.
I believe the good news.
I believe the good news.
I believe
that sounds better. Now, if there's anyone here this morning who would like to have hands laid on you as attaching the booster cables, if you need a little help, if you want prayer for something, just come right on up front and stand up in front of this row of chairs here. And some of us on the healing team will pray for you.